Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. A beautiful day today. Getting close to Christmas, hard to believe. It's sunny and blue sky here in Seattle. Eric is on vacation, and we have a special guest booth engineer with us today. We have Mike Roberge joining us. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, Julie. How are you this afternoon? And you're right, it is an absolutely gorgeous day outside.
It is. What a fine day to take your dog for a walk.
Absolutely. And we're doing a whole lot better than those folks down in Southern California. Yeah. They are definitely getting our weather down there. It's ugly.
Now, Mike, do you have a dog?
I don't, but I am a dog guy,
and
I live vicariously through my neighbor's dog, who's an older black lab female, probably around 11 or 12 years old, and she's just become just a wonderful friend. So, yes, I'm a dog guy.
All right, great. Well, we have a great interview today. I'm going to bring Wendy Spencer on in just a couple minutes. She's the animal curator at Wolfhaven International. And Wolfhaven is located down in Tenino, Washington. I'm going to bring her on in just a couple minutes. Before I do, I just have a few announcements. One, really. I don't have a specific date, but I just wanted to start talking about it. We are getting ready. The date of our 100th episode is January 26th of 2011. Very exciting. And I'm in the process of planning a celebration party for that. So it's going to be probably a Saturday. I believe it's the 29th of January, but I'll confirm that date next week. But that's going to be open to the public. So I hope all of you out there who listen to the Dog Talk Show can join us in Seattle on Saturday, probably Saturday, January 29th, to celebrate our 100th episode, which will be on January 26th. And as always, the Dog Talk Show is available on iTunes. So you can go to iTunes Podcasts and you can download us for free on iTunes as an audio podcast. Just search for The Dog Talk Show with Julie Forbes. All of our past shows are also archived on the website, www.dogtalkshow.com. And we have a Facebook fan page, which is The Dog Talk Show. So you can become a fan of the Dog Talk Show fan page and get some information about special offers and coupon codes before I announce them on air, and some behind-the-scenes conversation, too. I have posted on YouTube the videos from when Darcy and I went to Wolfhaven to visit a few weeks ago. So if you search for Dog Talk Show videos on YouTube, that's Dog Talk Show videos. Or you can just go to the Dog Talk Show website. They are all posted on the website as well. There are links to the YouTube videos on the Dog Talk Show website. Again, that's www.dogtalkshow.com. So let's bring Wendy on and talk to her about everything Wolfhaven. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Julie.
Thanks so much for calling in today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So this is Wendy Spencer, animal curator of Wolfhaven International. And you pretty much do everything that involves caring for the wolves.
I do. I don't do it alone, obviously. We have a staff, two full-time animal care guys and a part-time person as well. But definitely with 57 animals, they keep us pretty busy.
Wow. Now, what? First of all, let's talk about what Wolfhaven is. So Wolfhaven is a wolf sanctuary?
We are primarily a wolf sanctuary, and we do a lot of rescue. We take animals, primarily wolves, in from a variety of backgrounds. I would say the majority of our wolves come to us from private ownership, from people who purchase them as pets, and for obvious reasons, it doesn't work out, and then we are contacted for placement. And I would say about 75% of the wolves that we currently have come to us from that type of a situation. However, we do periodically get animals from other zoos or wildlife sanctuaries. And then we also participate in two federal programs, the Mexican Gray Wolf and Red Wolf Species Survival Plan program.
Excellent. Yeah. And I have that. We'll get more into that in detail later on in the show. It's a very interesting program.
Yeah.
Now, so people purchase wolves to try to have them as pets?
They do.
And what a great idea. and where do they get them?
You know, it's actually, it's quite easy to purchase a wolf. You know, it's like any, with exotics or, you know, if there's a market for them. And so you can go online and you can look on Craigslist. You can look in the, you know, classified.
So do you recommend owning a wolf as a pet?
I absolutely do not.
And why not?
You know, there are so many reasons why it's not a good idea. The main reason that I feel that it's not a good idea is because usually it's the animal that pays the price. People will get these animals, and people get them for a variety of reasons. You know, people love wolves, or they love the wild, and wolves are, you know, symbolic of the wild. People get them because they want to connect with the wild or with nature. Some people get them because they see wolves as a status symbol, or maybe they identify with them, the wolf is their totem animal. Sometimes they get them because they're absolutely beautiful. And so, you know, again, the reasons run the gamut, but, you know, when people get them, I don't know that people really fully understand what they're getting into. And so they'll get these animals when they're puppies, and, you know, they'll go along for months, maybe a year or two, and pure wolves don't sexually mature until they're about 2 years of age. And so people start to have issues as their animal matures, and then they get in over their heads. And for these folks that have purchased wolves as pets, if they need to surrender their animal, they can't pursue normal channels of adoption. You can't take your wolf to the shelter and drop your wolf off and expect that the shelter is going to be able to find a home for your wolf.
Right.
And so it's a huge problem. The other thing, and I don't know if we're going to get into this at all, is wolf dogs. You know,
yes, we will.
Which is even a bigger problem.
Yeah.
It is not a good idea. We don't condone having a wolf as a pet. There are some people who do right by their animals. There are some people who rescue these guys and do really good for them. But overall, it's not a good idea.
Yeah. So you said that there's 57 wolves. Was that 55 plus the two coyotes?
We have 57 animals total.
Okay.
So we have two coyotes. We do have a couple of wolf dogs here. Actually, we have three wolf dogs. We do have one older dog, mostly dog.
And by wolf dog, you mean a dog-wolf hybrid?
Exactly. Okay. And some of them, the three that we have are fairly high content. But there is one, we call her dog, but she's a fairly low content wolf dog.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in that count as well. And then, of course, our two coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
And then our gray and red wolf residents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we heard, we came for a tour a few weeks ago, and very shortly after we arrived and started the tour, one of them started going, and it was like, oh, are they all going to start? And then sure enough, they all did.
They all did, yeah.
And I actually have that on video, on the videos that I've posted, and those are on the website, but you can hear the coyotes kind of chiming in with their distinct sound as well. It was really, really amazing to witness that everybody's singing for us. It was
great. That's cool. It's to me, I mean, I've been here for, you know, over 12 years, and it's still magical. I still get goosebumps. But it's really cool because you can hear the coyotes, you can hear the gray wolves, the red wolves have their howl is a cross between the yippie coyote sound and the gray wolf howl, so it's really interesting to hear all the different sounds. And they're all individual, too. I mean, sometimes we can be standing up at the office, and the wolves are howling, and you can pick out individual wolves, you know, just because of their howl.
Yeah. So. Now, I think I read in your newsletter that Sissy recently passed away, and there was something in her write-up about her howl.
Yeah. She was one of our red wolves, and sadly, she passed away in July. From torsion, gastric torsion, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But she had, her howl was very unique. It was like a kazoo. And she always, it was really funny because she always had to have the last word. The wolf, you know, as you observed, generally one or two will start and then the whole sanctuary chimes in. And you'll have this, you know, really rambunctious chorus howl. But Sissy always had to get the last word. You could hear it. She'd go and go and go after everybody else was done. But it literally sounded like a kazoo.
Funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now how long do wolves live?
Well, it depends on if we're talking captive versus or wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the wild, it's really tough to be a wild wolf. They work really hard to earn a living, and they don't live a long time. You know, the average lifespan for a wild wolf is, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 years.
Mm.
The average lifespan for a wolf in Yellowstone Park is like 4 to 5 years of age.
Mm.
And they eat really well in Yellowstone. So there's a really, really high mortality rate for wild wolves. However, when you're talking about wolves in captivity, and you take away all those major causes of mortality, like starvation and human-induced mortality and disease, and you give them, you know, access to vet care and, you know, a good diet, they can live a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're very healthy. You know, we have animals currently who are 16, 17 years of age.
Wow.
We had one female years ago, actually, just prior to my coming on board, Princess Lilypad, who died just shy of her 20th birthday. And to me, it's just amazing. You think about, you know, some of our large domestic breeds, you know, like our shepherds, or take a mastiff, you know, who's geriatric by the time
mm-hmm.
they're 7 or 8. It's really impressive. You know, we recently lost a 15-and-a-half-year-old male. But, you know, you'd look at him, and you'd never know he was 15 years old. He, you know, he was moving around like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
You don't see the, you know, we do see, of course, some hip dysplasia, arthritis, things like that, but it doesn't seem to be nearly as prevalent in pure wolves as it is in our domestic breeds.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll talk more about Wolf Haven International, and I'm also very curious about your thoughts on the differences between wolf behavior and dog behavior.
Okay.
So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Many dogs love to ride in the car, but boy, they can really do a number on the interior with their nails and teeth. Did you know that you can have the interior vinyl and leather dents and tears repaired rather than having to replace an entire section or door? Color Masters Northwest offers leather, vinyl, and velour restoration with the option of on-site repairs and affordability of saving you from having to order a whole new part. You don't have to wait to replace your entire door or console. Just call Color Masters Northwest and have your dog's unsightly handiwork repaired quickly and affordably. Call 425-681-9355 or visit colormastersnw.com to schedule an appointment today. That's 425-681-9355 or online at colormastersnw.com.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, it's our annual Christmas show, and our gift to you is Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive. Kim will join us in the studio to take your phone calls. She can read for you or your current animal friends, or she can help you connect with your animal and human loved ones on the other side. She is truly a gift. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio, Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com and learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both your dog and cat. So we are back with Wendy Spencer, animal curator at Wolf Haven International. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Now, I work in Seattle area with dog training, behavior, and nutrition. So that's what I'm doing when I'm not on the air once a week. And you know, dogs are often compared to wolves as far as, you know, talking especially about pack structure and leadership and all that stuff. And I've been hearing more and more recently noise from people talking about how dogs, to varying degrees, but that dogs really shouldn't be compared to wolves anymore and that it's a fault, you know. And I'm wondering what your opinion is, knowing wolves. In what ways do you think we can liken dogs to wolves, and in what ways do you think that we can't or that we shouldn't?
That's a hard question. It's such a convoluted issue. I certainly think that there are a lot of similarities. I mean, certainly, you know, you look at the wolves and for many of our breeds, particularly the northern breeds, you see, similarities. You look at some of the behaviors that the wolves exhibit. For instance, play bows and tail wagging and, things like that. And certainly, you know, you look at, I have three dogs, and I come out of the sanctuary and I look at my dogs playing together.
Yeah.
And they look just like the wolves playing together.
Yeah.
However, when we're talking about wolf behavior, just because a wolf is play bowing or appears to be play bowing, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's an invitation for play. When we're talking about wolf behavior, you kind of have to look at the whole picture. Just because the wolf is in that position, what's he or she doing with her lips? You know, what are her ears or his ears doing, or the tail? You have to take the whole picture. With wolf behavior, a lot of times it will occur with a lot more intensity and under different contexts than what will happen with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people who think that they know dogs or think that they know dog behavior think that they know wolves, and that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
And so we have to be really careful when we're trying to, a lot of times visitors come to the sanctuary and they'll see a particular behavior and they'll say, you know, okay, what does that mean? Or what is he doing? Or why is he doing that? Or why is she doing that? And it's really hard to say. I mean, we can guess all we want to, and you can watch behaviors over and over and over and sort of assign meaning to them, but really, we just don't know.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that how you talk about context is really important, because I definitely talk to my clients about that a lot, or will have them talk to me about that a lot if they call me and say, you know, my dog did this. It's like, okay, well, what was happening?
Yeah.
There's so much more information about it, because dogs get context. I mean, I think a lot of times I'm really shocked at how little credit they get for their level of awareness of what's going on.
Right.
I've had people say like, or I've like come back for a second one and the dog remembers me and they're shocked. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's just like how I remember you or that you remember me. I mean,
sure.
But context is definitely really important in understanding where they're coming from and not just looking at it like, oh, they're wagging their tail. It means they're happy.
Exactly.
You know, yay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And just because they're wagging their tail, what kind, you know, what position is the tail in? Is it rigid? Is it fluid? Is it, you know, fast like a pendulum? Is, you know, so, I mean, there are all those things that you take into account. Like you said, just because the tail is wagging, that definitely doesn't mean that they're just happy. In some cases, it can be they're displaying dominance or aggression.
Mm-hmm. So, now, what about the need for, or at least the experience of pack structure? Do you think that dogs pretty much are still like wolves in that way as far as the hierarchy? I know that a lot of the controversy that I, well, not controversy, but like disagreement that I've heard in conversation is that we tend to, or some people tend to focus too much on the dominance and all that, and that dogs don't need that as much as wolves.
You know, I think that there is definitely a sense of, with our domestics, that there is the pack structure, the sense of hierarchy is important. I have a multiple dog. I have three dogs, and, you know, they definitely have their pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that there is something to that. I don't think it's as essential because, you know, they're not out there trying to survive.
Right.
You know, it's very, very different when you're talking about wolves out in the wild who need a cohesive structure. There needs to be order. There needs to be, you know, somebody in charge or else they'll all die.
Right.
And so it's very, very different.
Yeah.
I do think it's important for our domestic dogs, but it's not a matter of survival for them.
Yeah. Seems like there's more gray area, or I know this is my experience. We have three dogs as well, and then we often have other dogs in and out, and mm-hmm. that it's important that there is some structure in place and that there is some leadership in place, but it doesn't have to be, you know, at least as far as like eating first and
right.
like all of those more detail things don't
right.
seem to really matter as long as the bigger picture is under control.
Exactly. And I think, you know, when I introduced a new dog into the mix, you know, there were some issues that they had to work out. But, you know, I had to let them work it out and they did and it was fine, but it wasn't a matter of survival for them. I think the other thing that's interesting too with our domestic dogs when we're talking about packs, if you have a multiple dog household, you know, we're bringing a lot of times, you know, especially if you do rescue and you or I guess if you purchase, but you'll bring a dog in and then you'll bring another unrelated dog in.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dogs don't really have a choice as to who's in their pack, and they can't really kick a pack member out. You know,
right?
In the wild, wolves, of course, are, you know, they immigrate and emigrate, and you know, sometimes it's not their decision. Their pack mates will kick them out.
Mm.
With our domestic dogs,
mm-hmm.
you know, they might ostracize one of their, you know, their pack members, but it's not quite the same.
Mm. And so do the wolves at Wolfhaven, they don't live in packs, they live in pairs.
Most of our wolves are paired up, two per enclosure, male and female. As you probably know, they are so incredibly social. And I think, you know, with the exception of the African wild dogs, probably the most social of all the wild canids.
Mm.
And so, you know, they require companionship. You know, in captivity, we've found over the years, we have tried to maintain groups together, but we've found in captivity that it's difficult to maintain groups for an extended period of time, particularly when you have multiple females who are reproductively viable.
Mm.
Females, as you probably well know, who are reproductively viable, do not get along well. They don't play nice together.
Too many bitches.
Exactly. And so we have ended up over the years splitting our groups up.
Yeah.
And it's usually because of the females fighting.
Mm.
We do currently, we maintain, there's a group of three brothers to get, boys are much easier to house in multiple groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a group of three brothers. We do have a group, two older males, a 13 and a 14-year-old male with a 5-year-old female, and that seems to be working out quite well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but mostly they are paired up, two per enclosure.
Yeah.
And then we have others over the years who just haven't wanted anybody, and they've been housed by themselves.
I was going to ask you that. Have you ever had wolves there that couldn't be in with any others and had to be alone?
Yeah, you know, in in the time that I've been here, we've only, I've only experienced that once. And there was a, he was an older guy when I got here, but they had tried three or four times to try and pair him with different females, and each time he made it very clear that he just, you know, he was not interested in any of those females. And so he ended up living alone. He lived to be 17, and he was a bachelor and seemed perfectly content to live by himself. So, we currently have one female who we rescued last October, a year ago, October. And she was always housed alone, and she's just an uber-dominant girl. Mm. And she was in with an older male that we lost over the summer. Mm. And we're not sure how she's going to take to another, you know, when we introduce her to somebody. She may end up just being by herself. We'll have to see.
Mm-hmm. So, and I, when we were on our tour with Kim, she had talked, I think, a couple of times about how, I think it was Ruby was one of them, and Ruby's pen mate passed away, and that Ruby was really sad, and that seems to really happen regularly when they lose their pen mate, they get really sad.
Yeah, you know, I think probably for your listeners, they understand that dogs, you know, and wolves are, you know, they bond, they feel emotion, they are connected with their mate or their family members, and just like when we lose a loved one, they grieve. And it depends on the individual, and some of them express it differently. And I hazard to use the word grief, but I don't know how else to term it, because you see a change in behavior. Sometimes it's, a lack of appetite. Sometimes, you know, an animal who was really gregarious and playful just lays around. Sometimes they'll engage in what's called a morning howl. And, it sounds very different from the coarse howl that you experienced when you were here. It's usually initiated by that individual, and none of the other wolves join in. And it sounds very different. To me, it sounds like they're crying. As much as I hazard to use the word grieving, I truly believe that that's what they're going through.
Yeah.
And some animals, again, you know, we've had animals, we've had wolves who have been with their partners for years and years and years, and they'll lose their mate, and, you know, soon after we'll try and pair them up with somebody, and they're fine. Mm. We actually had one male who lost his mate. They had been together for, I think, 11 years, and he just was never the same after. He didn't, you know, we had tried to pair him, actually, with two different girls, mm-hmm. and he wanted nothing to do with them. We had this male Cherokee, who I mentioned, the 15-and-a-half-year-old who recently passed away. His mate, Miwok, had throat cancer, and she passed away in October. And they had been together for many, many years. And we saw, after her passing, we just saw this gradual decline. And 2 days after Thanksgiving, he passed away.
Mm.
And, you know, I think he was, you know, his heart was broken.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Wendy, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Wendy Spencer, Animal Curator of Wolf Haven International. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. But the dog that chases its tail will be busy.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com. Let Haute Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. Include yourself in the painting, or just your dog. Either way, you're sure to love the end result.
Call Jennifer at 206-661-4538. That's 206-661-4538. Or see more at hopeportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back with Wendy Spencer, animal curator at Wolf Haven International. Welcome back, Wendy.
Thank you.
Now, before we get into, I wanted to talk about the environmental enrichment, but before we get into that, I just saw another question I had, which is sort of along what we were talking about with the pen mates and how they bond. Another thing that Kim had told us, I think, a couple times, and I know this was the case with Pahana, who I particularly liked.
Yeah.
It seems like the pen mates can often have an influence, and often in a positive way. Like they help if a new mate comes in, and it, like Pahana's pen mate helps calm him down. And then there was one, I think it was Lady Hawk, was not pleased with her pen mate's friendliness towards people and was having her say in that. And I thought that was really sweet that they can help balance each other out in some cases.
Yeah, you know, I firmly believe that that they'll obviously cue off of one another, and you know, a lot of times, like particularly in Pahana's case, you know, out of all the rescues that we've been involved in, his was probably the most egregious situation, and he and his mother, and actually his enclosure mate is his older sister Mahina, who we were fortunate enough to rescue her and her litter mates way back in 2000. Mm-hmm. The woman actually that had these animals, she was a collector, and she had hundreds of animals. And we had worked way back in 99, started in 98, trying to get her to surrender some of her wolves. And we were fortunate enough to get Mahina's group. And it took almost 10 years before the state finally stepped in and confiscated all of her animals. And that's how we ended up with Pahana.
So was it like
had to spend, I'm sorry?
Was it like a hoarding situation?
Absolutely it was.
Yeah.
So finally, after all of these years had passed, you know, in 2008, the state had stepped in. They took all of her animals. She had bobcats and wolves and all
great.
Kinds of domestics. And they took all of the animals except for two wolves. She was allowed to keep Pahana and Pahana's mother, contingent upon spaying and neutering. And then a year later, she was actually involuntarily committed, and so the state called us and asked us to come back and get Pahana and his mom. So Pahana had spent his whole life, you know, when he was just a pup, they tried to turn him into a house pet, and they had kept him for several months inside the house. And I don't know if you've ever seen horses when they cross-tie horses in, you know, in a stall or a barn. You know, they'll take, have you ever seen that? They'll clip from one side of the halter, and then they'll clip. So Pahana had a choke chain, actually two choke chains, and from one side of the choke chain, he had a chain coming off, and it was secured to one side of a door frame. And then he had another chain coming off the other side of his neck, and it was bolted into the other side of the door frame. And so that's how he lived his life for the first, you know, for many, many months inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then when that didn't work out, they moved him outside to an outdoor pen, but he had no contact with his siblings or his parents or you know, anybody. So he was pretty much by himself. And that's how he lived for 10 years. And so when he came here in 2009, he had no clue how to be a wolf.
Mm.
He had no idea how to act around other canids. And so when we initially put him in, Mahina wasn't his first enclosure mate. Actually, we put him in with another sister, Siri, who was a little more outgoing. And
mm-hmm.
it was actually an enclosure that was off the public tour route.
Mm-hmm.
And Siri was a pretty dominant girl, and she went after him a couple of times, like nipped him on the rump, and
mm-hmm.
and he just wouldn't defend himself. He didn't know what to do,
right.
And so we decided to try him with Mahina because she was a little more easygoing.
Yeah,
and even initially Mahina went after him, but
yeah.
You know, we would separate. We'd sort of give them structured playtime, and you know, we'd put them together during the day, and then we'd separate them at night. And we did that for several weeks, and we increased every day. We'd increase the amount of time they spent together. And Pahana started to gradually learn how to, you know, how to respond to Mahina. And eventually, I was watching. We had a camera, actually, a remote camera installed so we could monitor the behavior from our desks so that they wouldn't be responding to us. You know, they just react to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one night, we saw her invite him to play. And finally, he figured out what to do. And
yeah.
they started playing. And it's, you know, they've been fine ever since. But you know, even with the wolves in the enclosures next door to him, he just didn't know what to do. He was, you know, all puffed up, and he's charging
yeah.
the fence and growling at everybody. And you see him now, and he's a completely different wolf. So they absolutely do cue off of one another. And the other thing is, you know, when we bring a new resident into, you know, a lot of times we go on these road trips to rescue wolves, and we'll come, you know, we get back, and usually it's in the very early morning hours. And we'll bring the new sanctuary resident in, and everybody knows when we drive in the sanctuary with a white cargo van, that usually means that there's a new wolf arriving.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody starts howling and getting all excited. And, you know, I swear it's like they're telling the new wolf, you know, hey, this is a great place, you're safe, you're home.
Yeah.
Because wolves that,
yay!
You know, yeah, you know, we've met these wolves at their, you know, where they've lived, and they're high strung and jumping, you know, jumping at the fence, and
mm-hmm.
and then they get here and they seem to settle in. So
yeah.
it's like they know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you have an environmental enrichment program.
We do.
Where you give the wolves some mental stimulation that way, and putting some different things in their pens mm-hmm. with them. And I liked what Kim was telling us about that, and how you had some marshmallows left
yeah.
over one time, but that off. Usually, what the wolves will do when something gets tossed into the pen is that they'll go over and pee on it and then check it out.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times they will. It depends on the individual, but you know, we do a lot of environmental enrichment for them because they, you know, they're so intelligent and they need something to sort of stimulate them, tax their brains. A lot of times we'll do puzzle feeders, or we'll hide objects or freeze objects,
mm-hmm.
and they have to work to get the item out.
Yeah.
They're super, super scent oriented. So a lot of times we'll introduce novel scents into their enclosures. And a lot of times what they'll do is, you know, before they do anything, is they'll pee on it or pee right next to it. And then
so is that like, it's mine,
it's
now I'm going to check it out?
Totally.
Yeah.
It's totally what they're doing.
Ooh, what's this? Mine. I'm going to
exactly.
check it out now.
And it's the funniest thing, Julie. I mean, even when we feed, I mean, it's completely disgusting to us. But, you know, we'll toss their food over,
yeah.
and they'll go and grab their chicken or their chunks of meat and put it in a pile, and they pee all over it. And then their enclosure mate sometimes will come over and pee all over it. And then the original wolf will come back and pee all over it. So it's just marinating in urine,
mm-hmm.
and then they eat it.
Mm.
So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah, well, whatever works, huh?
Yeah.
So they get... Now, I was surprised... Well, I guess... I don't know. I guess it makes sense, but I had asked Kim if the wolves get rotated into, like, a larger pen to run around or whatever. And she said that they actually don't like that it's kind of upsetting to them to leave their enclosure.
You know, it depends on the individual. We actually have something that we're working on, and down in the lower part of the sanctuary, there are several enclosures that have tunnels that connect enclosure to enclosure.
Mm.
And so what we can do is sort of shift everybody over an enclosure. to get in and do maintenance, cleanup, or if we need to do some repairs. We only have currently 4 enclosures that are connected, but it was really interesting. Actually, you know, we had the windstorm a few weeks ago, and we had some large limbs come down in one of the enclosures, and we needed to get in and do some maintenance. And we ended up just shifting everybody over. And I think this might have been after your visit, but it was so interesting. The wolves absolutely loved it. You know, they got into a new environment and all new smells and new things for them to mark and investigate.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the animals that we ended up shifting, they really enjoyed it. You know, there are some animals that probably that would be stressful for. So it sort of just depends on, you know, who we'd be moving.
Yeah.
But it was actually really good enrichment for the ones that we ended up shifting that day. Pahana was actually one of them, and he just, he was in heaven just exploring everything. He went around and marked every single tree and shrub and blade of grass.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Lots of peeing.
Yeah. And rolling, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of different scents for them to check out.
Yeah. I want to talk to you a bit when we come back from our next break about the species survival plan that you're participating in, which is for both the Mexican gray and Mexican red wolves. Is that right?
It's the Mexican gray wolf and the red wolf.
And the red wolf, not Mexican red wolf.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And about, you know, a little bit about the breeding and that type of thing. And then I also want to make sure that we just touch on hybrids, wolf dogs. So we will be back in just a few minutes with Wendy Spencer, animal curator of Wolf Haven International. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
She marked our trail up the backbone ridge. How many times can one dog pee?
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Bido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Baker Light Rail Station on McClellan. Visit Bido and Scratch on December 4th and 5th. They'll be hosting professional holiday pet portraits and pet food drive. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Fido and Scratch on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk With Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
It's a different world, I see.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM, and we are back with Wendy Spencer, animal curator of Wolf Haven International. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Well, Wendy, I wish we had more time, but in the time that we do have left, I want to talk quickly about your species survival plan, and I think we'll just have to have you back sometime soon and talk more about this.
Okay.
And that's with the Mexican gray wolf and the red wolf.
Right.
Okay.
So we are actually involved in these two federal programs, and they're the Species Survival Plan program. And basically what those programs are, it's a cooperative effort between the United States Fish and Wildlife Service and AZA facilities and non-AZA facilities like Wolf Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And we house endangered Mexican gray wolves and red wolves. And periodically we breed them. In the case of the Mexican gray, we also serve as what's called a pre-release breeding facility. So we have Mexican gray wolves who are either born here or come to us from other facilities, spend some time here, and then go out into the wild. And we currently have 12 Mexican gray wolves and 4 red wolves.
Mm.
And we have a pair of Mexican gray wolves who are pre-release and have been recommended for breeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a pair of red wolves who are off the public tour route, but they have been recommended for breeding as well.
Mm.
So we've been active in both programs for many years, and we feel really fortunate to be a part of those programs.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Wolves have so many challenges in the way of conservation.
They do, particularly in the case of the Mexican gray, because you're talking about, just a couple dozen free-ranging Mexican gray wolves in the wild. So So they're in critical condition right now.
Yeah. Now I wanted to also talk about wolf hybrids, so wolf dog hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
And now we talked about, is it a good idea to own a wolf as a pet? No, it's not, for many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But what about wolf dog hybrids?
Well, again, that's another issue that is pretty convoluted. I have over the years met some very wonderful wolf dogs. But I would say, as a general, for the general layperson, it's not a good idea. Wolf dogs, you have low content, you have mid content, you have high content, and a general rule of thumb is the lower the content, the lower the wolf content, the more dog-like the animal will behave.
Right.
But that's not always the case. The issue with wolf dogs is the unpredictability. A lot of times you can take a lab, or I have border collies, and you sort of know what you're getting into. But with wolf dogs, you never really know what you're going to end up with.
Mm.
If you're talking about maybe a first generation where, one parent is pure wolf and one parent is pure dog, you kind of know what you're getting. But once you get past F1, you don't know what you're getting into. And so they can be incredibly unpredictable.
Mm.
Even for low content, there's certainly high prey drive. There's, they tend to possess a wanderlust. Containment is always a concern for these guys.
Mm.
And also there's the legal issue to consider. A lot of locales ban breeding and owning and selling mm-hmm. of wolf dogs. So
seems like it's not fair to the animal, because they're part wild, part mm-hmm. domesticated. So it's like they don't know. I'm not trying to put human
right.
characteristics, but in how I can verbalize anyway, that they're like kind of torn between two worlds.
Particularly with the when you get into the mid and the higher content, the low content wolf dogs, a lot of times the wolf is negligible. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about these higher content wolf dogs, they're sort of trapped between these two worlds. And again, just like in the case of people who have wolves as pets, it's the wolf dog, it's the animal that pays the price. These people get these animals, they just get in over their heads, they start exhibiting behavior that we don't find desirable in a house pet, and then the animal is relegated to life in a kennel or life on a chain, or they're surrendered and euthanized. You can't pursue normal channels of adoption with wolf dogs, because they can't go into the shelter and for liability reasons, the shelter cannot adopt them out. And so, people surrender their wolf dogs, usually they're issuing a death sentence. And I literally mm-hmm. get calls and emails pretty much daily from people who are trying to place their wolf dog.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really sad situation, and it seems to be like it's on the rise. I don't know if it's because, wolves have been in the news the last few years, you know, and so it's become, the trend has become more popular. I'm not sure the reason behind it, but it seems to be escalating.
Yeah.
And it's not good for the animals.
Yeah, and there's probably sanctuaries that are devoted to wolf-dog hybrids.
There are sanctuaries across the country, but they are inundated.
Right.
You know, and the logistics, you know, if you have an animal in Washington and you're trying to get an animal to a sanctuary in North Carolina,
yeah,
it's not always practical. And so a lot of times these animals are euthanized. Most wolf dogs that are purchased as pets are euthanized by the time they're three.
Mm.
That's a really sad reality.
Yeah.
So, it's not something that we recommend. But again, you know, I would want to say that there are people who, you know, who know these animals and do right by their animals. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, some of these animals actually do fine.
A minority, though.
Right. And so for just that small minority, it's not fair, you know, to basically condemn the whole population.
Right.
So
now we were talking about when we were there about the different ways that people can get involved. I know that you do a lot of educational work, mm-hmm. and classes and stuff out of Wolf Haven. People can, quote unquote, adopt a wolf.
They can. They won't take the wolf home, but they get a really nice picture and certificate.
Yeah. So that's a great gift, you know, to adopt a wolf in somebody's name. I know I did that for Darcy's father last year.
Oh.
And it wasn't a Wolf Haven wolf, though. But next time it
next
will
time
be.
Next time it has to be a Wolf Haven wolf.
Yeah. I think it was a Yellowstone wolf. But but it was great. You know, they get a certificate. And,
yeah.
And the adoption is $25, is that right?
Exactly.
The okay.
$25.
So, you know, totally affordable thing to do. What a great gift. Memberships are $35 or
start at
$35. $35, right. And that includes the newsletter, the quarterly newsletter?
It does. It's Wolf Tracks, which is a really beautiful publication.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I read the most recent one last night and was reading all about the... not just the wolves, but and Sissy and all that, but
yeah.
You know, there's other information too, and the pocket gophers and all that stuff.
Right.
But it's a great publication, and the website is wolfhaven.org, correct?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
www.wolfhaven.org, and they are in Tenino, Washington, which is just outside of Olympia. And it's only really about an hour from Seattle if you, don't hit traffic. It was a really quick drive for us and a wonderful tour. And I have videos from our visit there posted on the Dog Talk Show website, which is dogtalkshow.com. And they're on YouTube, and the account name is Dog Talk Show Videos on YouTube. You can find those there, and you can see Pahana and a lot of Ruby and a lot of the other ones there, London. And you guys are also on Facebook, so you can look up Wolf Haven International and become a fan on their Facebook page and Twitter. The Dog Talk Show is also on Facebook as well. And but really, a great way to contribute is to adopt a wolf for somebody as a gift, or purchase a membership, or sign up for a monthly donation. I know those are really helpful for you, because then you can, it's money that you can count on that's coming in. And
exactly.
And it all goes to caring for the wolves that are there.
Exactly.
And you said there's 57 animals at Wolf Haven?
We currently have 57 total, yeah.
57 total, yeah. And there's a number of them on the tour, and then there's a whole bunch of other ones that are off the tour.
Most of them are actually off tour.
Yeah.
It takes a really special animal to be able to put up with us.
To tolerate the people.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. And when I'll have to have you back, Wendy, to talk more about, because there were a lot of questions that I didn't get to ask and to go into detail about the species survival plan that you participate in, and the genetic challenges involved in that, and, and, you know, and the puppies. That must be exciting when you get a, I'm assuming that's happened before, where you've had a pair mate and they've produced a puppy?
We've actually had 5 litters of Mexican gray wolves born here and 1 litter of red wolves. And with the Mexican gray wolves, they've been pre-released, so we're totally hands-off. And so We had, for instance, a litter in 2007 and then 2008, and we have remote cameras installed focused on the den so we can watch the pups as they first emerge from the den. So it's just, it's way cool. We get to see the parents, and, you know, if it's a multi-generational pack, we get to see them just, you know, raising their pups and living like a family. It's really cool. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Wendy, thank you so much for your time today. It was a pleasure to talk with you. Again, www.wolfhaven.org. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter. Go to the website, adopt somebody a wolf. Adopt is in quotes. They're not going to be taking a wolf home. That's not the point. But adopt somebody a wolf as a gift is a great idea. And I hope you and the wolves and everyone there have wonderful holidays. And we'll look forward to having you back in the future and visiting again soon.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So check out the website, wolfhaven.org. It's a great facility. It's just outside Olympia, and the wolves are beautiful. And you can the video of them all howling is also on that collection on dogtalkshow.com, so you can listen to them all singing for us. It was really, really amazing. It was all I could do to not cry. All right, happy holidays, everyone. We'll be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.